The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, Franklin Communications, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to columbustoday.com, keyword Dentally Speaking, or find them at dentallyspeaking.com. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
94.7 WSNY. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Kvitko, and thank you for joining me here on Sunny 95. I think we're going to have a great show today. We have Dr. John Eichold, a neurologist, sleep medicine specialist, right here in town, and we're going to talk about sleep disorders, sleep disordered breathing. We're going to talk about dentistry's role in treating sleep disorders. But before I get to Dr. Eichold, let me tell you a little bit about him. He is a 1977 graduate of the Ohio State University College of Medicine. He then went on to do a residency in neurology at the, through Wake Forest University School of Medicine, and actually that took place at the North Carolina Baptist Hospital. Dr. Eichold spends a lot of time dealing with sleep disorders. I think he even has a sleep lab, one of the few sleep labs in the city up north of I-270 off of Flint Road. And Dr. Eichold, thank you for getting up so early this morning.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Appreciate you being here. Hey, we always have a Dr. Kvitko question of the day. And this week's question, of course, it's always tied into our topic, but this week's question is, it is estimated that how many Americans suffer from a sleep disorder? All right. How many Americans suffer from a sleep disorder? And we have our choices as A, 3 million, B, 28 million, C, 70 million, or D, 130 million. And your guesses are welcome at 459-9769. That's 459-9769. And the winner receives a free mixed seasonal floral arrangement from Vise Stember Florist. All right? We'd love to give that away. And we encourage you to pick up the phone, 459-9769. And let me just restate the question. It is estimated that how many Americans suffer from a sleep disorder? Is it A, 3 million? B, 28 million, C, 70 million, or D, 128 million. I think I said that wrong. It's 130 million, isn't it? Yeah, D. Anyway, I'm not trying to trick you. I'm hoping you win the flowers. And if you have questions, we are live, so if you have questions for Dr. Eichold, feel free to pick up the phone and call that number as well. All right, so Dr. Eichold, let's get on to some of these questions. First of all, how did you get interested in sleep medicine? Because you went right from medical school to your residency in neurology, but not all neurologists do sleep medicine, am I right?
That's correct. There is some sleep medicine exposure during medical school, but precious little, and there's a bit more exposure during the neurology residency. But as a neurologist, I practiced my first 10 years in private practice as just doing neurology. I became increasingly aware of the sleep problems that my patients were having and how those sleep problems impacted the patients and their neurological problems.
So were they having sleep problems because of the nerve damage? Let's say they had a neck injury, nothing to cause paralysis, but they had an injury, maybe a sports injury. Is that, and then they were having trouble sleeping, what, through the pain or what?
Actually, it was more the other way around, I think, or at least the patients that became more obvious to me. Patients would come into me, into my office with issues with episodic confusion. Well, from a neurologic standpoint, one of the first things we think about is this patient having some form of subtle seizure, or could they be having some sort of ischemic attack, as is often considered. And as I got to know the people and got to be more familiar with their inability to accurately describe what was going on with them, it became increasingly obvious to me that they were actually dozing off or having confusional episodes associated with being partially asleep.
So ischemic attack is lack of oxygen, right?
That's a whole other issue, but many times people will go to the emergency room with a transient episode of some sort, and the stock answer might be, well, you're having a TIA or transient ischemic attack, correct. But in point of fact, it's actually kind of rare for a lack of blood flow or a lack of oxygen to the brain to be the primary cause of transient confusion. Usually those sorts of attacks are associated with more motor or sensory dysfunction rather than thought processing dysfunction.
So you had some patients that were having these transient ischemic attacks in your practice of neurology, and you started wondering why or how can I treat this or what's the root cause?
Maybe to try and clarify a little bit further, I'd have people that would have transient episodes of confusion.
Okay. I'm confused a lot. Do I have... shall I see you?
That may be a topic for another program. In fact, maybe a couple programs there.
Oh, okay. Hey, he took one look at me and he thinks it's going to take two programs to cover my craziness. Anyway, go ahead.
So at any rate, that was just one example. People with sleep disorders often will complain of headaches, particularly upon awakening in the morning. So there were a number of clinical situations where, as I started burrowing down into the problem, I became increasingly aware that they were having sleep problems. And with that, I became increasingly aware of my inadequacy of dealing with these problems. And with that, I became inspired to take on a great deal of additional training in the area of sleep medicine, to the point where I was ultimately board certified in that subspecialty.
Okay. So it is a board certified subspecialty. And by the way, I want to mention that you practice out of or have privileges at Grady Memorial, which is in Delaware, I believe, right?
Correct.
And St. Anne's, which is in Westerville.
Correct.
And Riverside, which is right here in Columbus.
Correct. But I'd like to clarify that for the most part, my practice is outpatient-based, and I'm affiliated with a fairly large organization called Ohio Health Sleep Services, and we actually have a number of labs. I think it's 11 or 12 labs throughout Central Ohio.
Oh, you have 11 or 12?
Correct.
Wow.
I don't personally, but I am affiliated with that organization.
Okay, and the sleep lab is where people go, and they hook them up to about, what, 20-some wires all over the place, and then they sleep there, and they're monitored, right?
That's correct.
Okay, I think we've all seen some of those videos. Maybe they make the evening news or something, where you capture people having either night terrors or just tossing and turning, or in this case, you're capturing wave patterns of the brain, right?
We monitor a number of parameters in the sleep lab, and also to clarify a little bit, the sleep lab is just one element of sleep medicine. If properly performed, it should start with a consultation with a physician and follow up with the physician afterwards. And many times patients don't actually need to go to the sleep lab to be adequately evaluated for their sleep problem.
Don't they have some kind of a portable monitor that people can use at home?
Well, there's a number of attempts in using those sorts of equipment, and generally, those are inadequate. If you really need to be evaluated during the night, it's much better to come into an accredited sleep lab and have a thorough evaluation. Many times the home units are misleading, and with that, you've wasted time, money, and maybe started down the wrong pathway.
Okay. Well, in a way, I'm sorry I brought that up, but then I brought it up so you can debunk the myth, right?
No, that's fine, and there are applications for some of the home units, but generally those are after the fact once you've got a good baseline from a formal sleep study. And for your listeners' sake, let me state, many times our patients come in with considerable trepidations about going through that process, but once they've gone through it, they find out that it wasn't that bad, and indeed, many times my patients end up sleeping much better in the sleep lab than they do at home. They're removed from the stressors of the home, the emotional triggers that might otherwise disturb their sleep.
Wow. That surprises me, because I don't sleep very well unless I'm in my own bed.
Well, and some people are that way, but many of the people with, for instance, classic chronic or psychophysiologic insomnia have fairly close emotional stressors associated with their bedroom, and if you can get them out of their own bedroom, they actually will sleep better.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. When we come back, and we do have to go to a break, when we come back, we're going to talk a little more with Dr. Eichholt a lot about how dentistry plays a role in treating sleep disorders and that sort of thing. Don't forget, our question of the day is, it is estimated that how many Americans suffer from a sleep disorder? Is it A, 3 million, B, 28 million, C, 70 million, and D, 130 million? And they're just guesses. This is all in fun, and it is an estimate. So give us a call, 459-9769, and we'll be right back after the break.
Estás escuchando Dental Speaking con Dr. Kawiko aquí en su estación favorita, Sandy 95.
Experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea, why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help? So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now, 614-263-8661. 263-8661.
Sunny 95 will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. Sunny 95 cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. I live my life and practice dentistry by four very important principles: comfort, compassion, respect, and care. They are my guide to providing the very best and most comfortable dental care for you and your family. We want you to feel safe, relaxed, and confident that you are getting the very best care. If you need to correct one tooth or have a total smile makeover, we can help. We provide cosmetic and restorative services including tooth whitening, crowns and bridges, complete and partial dentures, root canals, extractions, and implants. At Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we work hard to earn your trust.
Call to schedule an appointment, 262-9588, or online at drkvitko.com.
Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
I've been spending way too long checking my tongue in the mirror and bending over backwards just to try to see it clearer, but my breath fogged up the glass, and so I drew a new face and I laughed.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thank you for joining me today. I have in the studio with me Dr. John Eichholt. He is a medical doctor. He's a neurologist. He specializes in sleep medicine. And we are going to talk here soon about how dentistry plays a role in treatment of sleep disorders, but we have to lay the groundwork, I guess, for what is a sleep disorder. And so my next question then for Dr. Eichholt is, why is sleep so important?
Great question, really. I think the first thing I wanted to clarify is sleep is not just a period of time where the body and the brain rest. It is a time of very active processes that the brain is carrying out that it can't really carry out during the waking state. We're becoming increasingly aware of some of the special things that the brain does, not necessarily just during sleep, but we refer to it as offline processing. The brain, when not actively engaged in cognitive activities or thought or the functions that we all associate with the brain when we're awake, the brain's processing memory, the brain's processing emotions, the brain is processing modulation or the control over the immune system, over the endocrine system. So sleep for the brain is not a time of just being down and getting some rest. It's a time where parts of the brain are doing that. The part of the brain that's conscious is certainly resting during sleep. But there are very important functions that the brain's carrying out during sleep, particularly with regards to memory processing and with regards to processing emotion. And then finally, or not necessarily finally, but thirdly, processing the modulation of the immune system. So when those processes are compromised, you're much more likely to have medical problems. So that's just a short answer. Really, we could, again, do another program on that subject alone.
I think we probably will. We'll have to get with that, talk about that in a little bit. So processing memory, what that is saying is if you've studied, say, for a test, and you only get 2 hours sleep, there's a good chance you're not going to remember everything that you've just studied, right?
Exactly.
How many hours do you need for this, everything that you've learned today, to be processed into your memory?
Well, that's not totally worked out yet. When you talk about sleep need, it's usually quoted as being somewhere between 7.5 and 8.5 hours per night. But we found that even short naps will help with the processing of the memory. If you use the analogy of the computer and RAM and hard drive, the brain has an area called the hippocampus where your immediate memory functions are carried out, sort of analogous to the RAM in the computer. And if you just take even a short nap, the brain will start downloading from the hippocampal region of the brain and start integrating it into the neural network of the cerebral cortex, which is to say, it's encoding the memory into a form where it can be held for long-term processing. If you don't get a good night's sleep, you will not encode, and a lot of those memories that you might have been jamming in for your examination don't get encoded into the long-term memory, and then it's lost.
What about pulling an all-nighter? I think every college student has pulled an all-nighter at some point in their life. Are they better off to stay up and go to the test than to try to get a couple hours sleep if they have time?
Well, I guess I would back up from there and say get the 8 hours. And certainly they'll be better off if they get some sleep. But you actually introduce a whole nother issue, and that has to do with circadian rhythms. And our brain has an innate desire or innate need for regular scheduling. And so if you pull an all-nighter, you've already disrupted the circadian rhythm of the brain. And so you're already working behind the curve, if you will. I think much better to study up until bedtime, take a few moments to relax so you will sleep well, and then get your at least 6 to 7 hours of sleep before your test. Because if you're staying up all night to try and succeed for an examination, you're really setting yourself up for failure.
Okay. And I can think of a couple tests when that actually happened to me, but luckily I was able to recover from it. All right, so how would a person know if they have a sleep problem, and would it be obvious?
Not necessarily. A very significant number of my patients come to me not on their own volition, but because members of the family or traveling companions have pointed out that they have problems during the night while they're asleep. And of course, while you're asleep, you're not forming memories. Daytime sleepiness is an interesting symptom, and that's all it is. All too often people say, I'm not sleepy, so I don't have sleep apnea, or I'm not sleepy, so I don't have a sleep problem. But the truth of the matter is, people acclimate to their level of, or many people do at any rate, acclimate to their level of sleep deprivation, particularly when it occurs slowly over time. And so many of my patients have no clue that they're sleep deprived or sleep impaired. And they have to rely on the testimony of others or their physicians.
So the others might say, hey, you keep falling asleep in the chair, or you nodded off at your desk or something.
Those would be observations during the daytime that others might make. And you're right. Many of my patients aren't even aware that they're falling asleep while watching TV, and they'll flat out deny it. And the wife or the spouse will say, but you were snoring, and they'll also deny that. And then there's the other side of it, and that is what is actually occurring during the night. Many patients will literally stop breathing during the course of the night, maybe many times during the course of the night, wake up and feel as though nothing occurred during the night that was the least bit wrong, and they have to rely on their spouse or bed partner to tell them that this is going on. So it really is something that you have to rely on the the observations of others or the knowledge and expertise of their physicians. When a physician, be it dental or medical, notices certain clues, either anatomically or in the history, that suggest a sleep disorder, it's best that the patient heed the advice of their healthcare professional, because they are actually in a better position to make these observations and raise these points.
So you may not believe your wife, but you need to believe your doctor.
Well, it all depends on the credibility of each individual, and I think you have to assess those. But generally, if you don't believe your doctor, you probably ought to shop for a new one.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's fair enough.
Now, on the other hand, I don't know if I can extend that advice for the spouse.
Finding a new spouse? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. We don't want to go there. We'll start a revolution or something. So we keep hearing about sleep apnea, and you just referred to it here a second ago. And so my question, which I think I'm going to have you wait till after the break to answer, is it really that big of a deal, sleep apnea? So you're listening to Dentally Speak. Oh, don't forget our question of the day. It is estimated how many people in the United States have a sleep disorder. And the choices were 3 million, 28 million, 70 million, and 130 million. And when we come back, I'll read a couple guesses we've had by email. And hopefully somebody will be able to get the answer. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kvitko, let's go!
Seagull Bags encourages you to take custom to a new level. Located at 3343 North High Street, just south of East North Broadway. They specialize in handmade custom courier bags and backpacks. All of their bags are completely waterproof and built to withstand any nasty condition you can think of. Stop by their shop and design a custom bag from scratch with one of the people that is actually going to build your bag. You choose the size, all the colors, and what pockets you need and where you want them. They also do custom embroidery. They have a full line of bags from tool bags to gigantic backpacks. Their bags are ideal for cyclists, students, or anyone that values quality and customization. Check out their website at seagullbags.com or come visit their Clintonville storefront. Let them make something amazing for you.
Looking for that perfect gift? Something different that your friends will love? Moxie's in Clintonville has just what you're looking for. Moxie specializes in entertainment barware, dishware, and linens, both new and vintage. They carry Fiesta, Hearthstone, and Signature products. Moxie's also has the ideal host or hostess gifts. Wrap candies including wax lips, bubblegum cigars, ring pops, and charm bracelets and necklaces. If you have no room to entertain, no problem. Moxie's has the room for you to host. The soiree room features black and white striped floors, Hollywood style seating, and a private outdoor deck. It's great for your next book or card gathering, birthday, or bridal shower. So when you're looking for a place to host some friends or looking for that perfect gift, go to Moxie's in Clintonville. Moxie's, 3339 North High Street, open Tuesday through Saturday. For more information and hours, call 657-6854, 657-6854.
And when you smile, the whole world stops and stares for a while. 'Cause girl, you're amazing, just the way you are.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thank you for joining me today. We are talking about sleep medicine with Dr. John Eicholt. Let me give out a couple of guesses we've had to our question of the day by way of email. And we had John, he sent in a guess of A, 3 million. He thinks 3 million people are the number of Americans who suffer from a sleep disorder. And we had Terry, she sent in an emailed guess of 130 million. That would have been D. Neither of those are correct. So that leaves two choices, B and C, 28 million, and C is 70 million. So 459-9769, the person with the correct guess wins flowers from Weistember Florist. And I'll be happy to send out a mixed seasonal floral arrangement on to your place of work Tuesday. Okay, so Dr. Eicholt, sleep apnea, is it that big of a deal?
Well, there's a number of reasons. One kind of relates to your quiz question of the day, and that is it's huge in terms of the number of people affected by this disease. And secondly, the ramifications of this disease when left untreated. Not only does it lead to daytime sleepiness in many of the patients, not all, but many of the patients who suffer from this disease are sleep impaired with regards to, and that sleep impairment shows up in daytime sleepiness, but also the medical conditions that can fall out from this disorder, things ranging from hypertension and headache to stroke and even sudden death. Some of these people go to bed at night feeling fine and just do not wake up in the morning.
Even diabetes is one of the ones affected.
Absolutely. Even those people that might have had diabetes for some other reason have their diabetes worsened by the obstructive sleep apnea.
And how do dentists play a role in treating this?
Aside from just being another healthcare professional that the patient hopefully will confide in, the dentist is in a unique situation in terms of observing the anatomy of where obstructive sleep apnea tends to focus, and that being the back of the throat, the tongue, the jaw. Those areas of the human anatomy are closely related to obstructive sleep apnea.
Okay. And what we dentists do is make appliances to help hold the tongue forward to open up the airway, correct?
Correct. The dental profession can not only identify these people, which I consider the first step in getting these people taken care of, they can be a critical part of the treatment phase of the treatment plan.
We have a caller on line. What is that, line two? Line two. Okay, caller, line two. Do you have a guess for our question of the day?
Yes, I do. 28 million is what I'm thinking.
28 million? Oh, I'm so sorry. That is not correct. That only leaves one, if anybody's listening. Only leaves one choice. Thank you so much, though. So when people go to sleep, then the tongue falls to the back of their throat primarily and closes off whatever small airway they already have. There is such a thing as just having anatomically small airway, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Oh, by the way, we had guesses A, B, and D. So those were incorrect.
Can I compete? I think I know the answer now.
Now you know the answer. Actually, earlier you said that would have been your guess. 459-9769. We have a couple more minutes if somebody wants to win flowers from Weistember Florist. So sleep apnea, and that is, I guess, the most severe form of sleep disordered breathing, correct?
I don't know if I would completely agree with that.
No.
There's obstructive sleep apnea, there's central sleep apnea, and then there's several others. Obstructive sleep apnea is probably the most common and related to the most significant medical ramifications.
I haven't even heard of that other one. What was the first one you mentioned?
Central sleep apnea?
Yeah, central sleep apnea. I think we're going to, you know what? We are very close to the end of the show, and it's pretty clear to me we are going to need to have you back if you're willing to come back on the show on a future date.
Great.
Because I have so many more questions. Literally, I haven't even scratched the surface. Do we have another caller? We have a caller. Caller, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. How are you? Thank you for calling. What's your guess?
70 million.
You are so smart. You are so smart. You probably knew it all along, didn't you?
Actually, my husband has it, so I think it was pretty high.
That is. There's about 305 million people in the country, and 70 million of them have some sort of sleep disordered breathing, which is just under 25%. That's a lot of people. So if you can hang on the line, my producer's going to get your information so that we can get your flowers from Weistember delivered, okay?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling. So, Dr. Eichel, yes, definitely I want to have you back. When we go off the air, we'll figure out a schedule and I know it's early in the morning, try to get you up twice this early in the morning is a little bit tough because he's very adamant about the amount of sleep he gets. He lives and breathes what he preaches, so I can promise you that. I think he's been resting up for the last month just to come and do this show. Anyway, yes, we are very much up against the end of the show, so thank you so much for tuning in. Tune in next week again at 7:30 on Sunny 95, every Sunday morning at Sunny 95 on Sunday. Dentally speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Go out and have a great day, have a great week, and tune in down the line when we have Dr. Eichelt back to answer many, many more of our questions.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to columbustoday.com, keyword dentally speaking, to access full half-hour episodes of Dr. Kvitko's shows.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.